Mesech Shavuos, Perek Dalet Mishnah Hin, Til Perek Dalet Mishnah Ches. Midi Rabbanon, any form of work which improves the ground or it improves produce would be forbidden during Shemitah, even if it's not one of the five which are mentioned explicitly in the Torah. However, something which is done just in order to prevent harm or damage from certain produce is allowed, and this rule is brought out very clearly in our Mishnah. Hamavkia Bazayis, one who chops off part of an olive tree, he cuts off part of the branches, part of the trunk. And the most common use for this wood would be to use as firewood, and that would be permitted to chop during Shemitah. However, once he's done that, lo yechapeu be'ofer, he cannot cover the part where he cut it with earth, because this improves the tree, and it stimulates more growth of the tree, and therefore it's forbidden midrabanan during Shemitah. However, vol machasa hu ba'avonu be'kash, but he can cover that part where he cut the tree, so the end of the branch or the trunk, which is still remaining, he can cover that with stones or straw, because that just prevents the tree or that part of the tree from drying out, but it doesn't actually improve its growth. Now, when it comes to a sycamore tree, this was sometimes cut not in order to use as firewood, rather because once the tree was cut, the rest of the tree would grow much faster and better beams. Now, if we're cutting the tree in order for it to grow better, of course that's going to be forbidden during Shemitah. However, it was only when the sycamore tree had never been cut before, that is when cutting it would make it grow more. But if it had been cut before, then it's just like any normal tree, so it would be permitted during Shemitah. However, just like any other tree, hakoitzitz kores shikmar, one who does cut off beams of a sycamore tree, lo yechapeu be'ofer, he can't cover the parts where he cut it with earth in order to improve the tree. Rather, he should only cover it with stones or straw so that it doesn't dry out, because that is preventing harm rather than improving the tree. And now we come to the young sycamore tree which hasn't been cut before. One is not allowed to cut a sycamore tree for the first time during Shemitah, because it is considered a form of work which is forbidden during Shemitah. Now the truth is, even if a sycamore tree has never been cut before, cutting it will only improve its growth if you cut it when it's a certain height, and that's only within 10 tefachim of the ground. So technically, if you cut it, let's say, when it's 15 tefachim above the ground, when it's reached that height, that should actually be permitted, because it does not stimulate more growth. However, because it appears to be that you are cutting it for the sake of making it grow more, people can't really tell the exact height of it, and they'll think that what you're doing is improving the tree, and therefore you can never cut it. Even if it's at a different height, even if it won't technically improve the tree, you can still not cut it if it hasn't been cut before. And that's according to the Tanakhama, because he's concerned that people won't realize that this tree is too high for it to be improved by cutting. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that we're not concerned, and therefore, Kadarika Osir, if you do it in the regular manner, it's forbidden, meaning if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, so cutting it would improve the tree's growth, then it's forbidden. El oimag v'yasar tefachim, but he could just do it once it's 10 tefachim high, or he go to me al ha'aretz, or he could cut it from the ground, meaning he could cut it right to the ground without leaving a stump. That was also an unusual way to do it, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be able to do that, and we're not concerned that people might think that you are still cutting a tree to improve its growth. Mishnah Vav, hamazaniv bagafonim, one who cuts the edges of vines, v'hakoitzitz konim, and one who cuts reeds. Now, there's one of two reasons why somebody would do this. Either it's in order to improve the growth of the tree, and of course that would be forbidden during Shemitah. Or it could be that he is cutting it in order to use the wood, for example, for firewood. And according to the strict letter of the law, that should be permitted. However, because it may appear as if he is cutting it in order to improve the growth of the vine or the reeds, Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, Yarchik Tefach, he has to distance the place where he cuts it by a tefach. So if, for example, he usually cuts it right next to the ground, right at the bottom of the trunk, so he should leave a tefach of the stump and cut it a tefach upwards, so that it's clear that he's not doing it in the normal way in order to improve the tree, rather that he is cutting it for a different purpose, namely for firewood. However, Rabbi Akiva says, Kotzitz kedarkei, he can cut it in its regular manner, and in fact he could even use the regular tools which he would use to cut the tree, but kurdoim, with an axe of a magal, or a sickle. This is some sort of harvesting tool, which is in the shape of a moon, and it's got a handle. Uvamageiran, with a saw, v'chomash yirtzeh, and with whichever tool he would like, because Rabbi Akiva is not concerned that people will assume he is cutting it in order to improve the growth. They'll understand that he is doing it for firewood. And the Mishnah ends off, Ilon Shen Nifshach, a tree which develops a crack, Kutrin Osaba Shavias, when we tie that part of the tree during Shemitah, Noisha Yale, not in order to get rid of the crack, by making the tree sort of grow tightly where that crack is, so the crack will be removed. You can't do that because that's improving the tree. Elashele Yosef, you can only tie it so that it doesn't spread, so that the crack doesn't develop more, because that would be protecting the tree from further harm. But if you're trying to remove the crack, since just one crack doesn't really damage the tree, to remove the crack would be improving the tree, which would be forbidden during Shemitah. Mishnah Zayin, for most of the rest of the Masechta, until the beginning of the final Perek, the Mishnahs will no longer talk about the different forms of work in the field during Shemitah. Rather, it will talk about the sanctity and the holiness of the Shemitah produce itself. And as we learned in the introduction to this Masechta, the produce of Shemitah is le'ochla, to eat. And one of the things which we learned from that pasuk is that one can't just get rid of Shemitah produce, put it in the waste. You've got to eat them, and included in this is the fact that you need to eat them when they're properly ripe. This is either learnt from that pasuk of le'ochla, that you've got to do a proper eating, you can't eat them when they're not really edible, or it's learnt from a different word when it says tevu'osa. The pasuk says tia kol tevu'osa le'echol, that all its produce should be for eating, and the word tevu'a only refers to produce which is ripe. So in general, before something is fully ripe, it's forbidden to eat it during Shemitah. However, there's one exception, because in the fields, in a normal year, not necessarily during Shemitah, people were accustomed to eat produce even before it was fully ripe. When it was nearing the stage of being ripe, already then they would start eating the produce when they were in the field. However, they would never bring this half-ripe produce into the house. And therefore, since it was normal to eat half-ripe produce in the field, so during Shemitah you can eat half-ripe produce in the field, but not in the house. Whereas fully ripe produce you could eat anywhere. So the Mishnah asks, Me'emasai Eichlin Peris or Ilum Bashavias, from when may one eat produce of a tree, so fruit, during Shemitah? When are they considered ripe enough? So in general, there are going to be two stages. The first stage is when they're ripe enough to be eaten in the field, and the second stage is when they're fully ripe, and the second stage is when they are fully ripe and then they can be eaten anywhere, even in the house. So Hapagim, when it comes to unripe figs, Mishayaz Richu, once they turn red, so they're no longer green and unripe, once they turn red, one could eat it in the field with his bread. Because that was a normal thing to do when the fig was half ripe, they would sort of dip the bread into the fig and have it together. Bichalu, once the fig has grown after that, so now it's pretty much ripe, then from that point onwards, you'd be able to bring it into your house and eat it there, because that was the normal thing, that was a normal way to eat it during a normal year. However, before these stages, you would not be able to eat it, because as we explained, to eat it when it's not ripe is considered wasting it. Now, the Mishnah notes something which has not specifically got to do with Shemitah. However, it's got to do with the fruit ripening. And that is that during the 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, other than Shemitah itself, one is obligated to separate certain tithes, certain gifts for the Kohanim, the Levim, and the poor people. However, produce only becomes obligated in those gifts once they've ripened properly, enough to be brought into the house. And if, for example, let's say somebody declares his produce to be ownerless. Ownerless property is exempt from these gifts. So if he declares his produce to be ownerless before they've ripened, then he won't need to separate the gifts. However, if he only declares them ownerless after that stage of ripeness, then he would still be obligated to tithe that produce. So the Mishnah says, V'chein kayetzi lahem b'shar shnei shavua, the same stage of ripening would apply in the rest of the years of the Shemitah cycle, Chayav B'Maisras, with regards to being obligated in those tithes, in those gifts to the Kohanim, the Levim, and the poor people. And this is referring to that second stage, when the figs grow and are ready to be harvested and brought into the house. It's from that point that the fruit, that the figs become obligated in Maisras. Alright, Mishnah Ches, this is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells us, Habiser, when it comes to unripe grapes, Mishahevi Mayim, once they contain water, they contain liquid, so if you squeeze the grape, then some juice will come out of it. So from that stage, it's considered partly ripe, and therefore, Eichel by Pito Basodeh, one would be able to eat it with his bread in the field, because that was the normal thing to do during a normal year. So it's considered eating it, it's not considered wasting it. And then the second stage is Hivish, and that's the stage of ripening, where it's ripe enough for you to be able to see the seeds of the grape inside. So you can see through the skin slightly, the skin of the grape. So at that stage, it's considered at least the beginning of the full ripeness of the grape, and therefore, he can bring it into his house and eat it even there, because it's considered ripe enough that it was normal to eat anywhere. And again, the Mishnah tells us, a similar thing would apply in the rest of the years of Shemitah, Chayav Bamaser, so it would be obligated in the gifts for the Kohanim, the Levim, and the poor people from that last stage of when you could see the seeds within the grape.